Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Good morning, everyone. If you haven't noticed, today is Vacation Sunday. Even the pastor isn't here. Okay, something's going on there. I'm just kidding. He is ministering in Scottsboro this morning, so don't think he's sitting out. Just to be honest, I think he misses maybe one Sunday a year, and that's been our entire marriage. So he loves you. He misses being here, but he is ministering this morning at the Well Scottsboro as his dad is in Pinson, Alabama. But also want to just take a moment today. We want to remember those who fought for our country and gave their lives for us. And I want to just say a prayer over the families who they may not have lost their lives themselves, but they gave. And so we want to remember that and not take it lightly, especially now in this day and age when so much is changing, even the face, really the face of the military, they're trying to do things that we really don't agree with anymore, right? And so I want to remember those who have already given their lives and honor them. And so, Father, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts. Lord, you said, no greater love has a man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And so this morning we say thank you for those who sacrificed their lives so that we could live in freedom. And God, I pray over every family who has given of their family member or friend to sacrifice for our country. I pray that you would comfort them on this day. As for us, it may be a time of celebration. It may be an off day, but for them, it may be a time of great grief. And so I pray the Comforter would comfort their hearts and minds this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I don't plan to keep you long. I do feel like the Lord deposited something in my spirit, even though really there's something else I want to talk about. But it might be better if Pastor Spencer was here if I divulged into that, because I just want to give you a quick warning right now. One thing that I was thinking about is everything that we're seeing going on right now in our nation is, you know, the Bible talks about angels of light. They'll appear like an angel of light, meaning they'll appear like they're good, but they're really not. Sometimes I feel like we're not really certain as to what that is, and we think it's going to be, for instance, right now, all the drag queen stuff, right? That's not an angel of light. I can look at that and say that's demonic. That's not confusing. I know that's wrong. But you need to beware and be careful that you know the Bible, especially now. And you may say, I've read my Bible. I know it. Read it again. Because the Bible would not over and over again tell us, do not be deceived if we weren't going to have the possibility of being deceived. And I feel like part of what may be angel of lights are ministers who stand in their pulpit and they say opposite and contrary to what the Word of God states. And we are seeing that now in such a rampant state because pastors want to build their churches more than they want to build the kingdom of God. And so they are saying things that are contrary to the Word of God. So I implore you this morning. This is not what I'm going to preach about. I wish it was, but this is not what God has me to say. But he does want me to encourage you, know your word and do not give heed to falsehood. Even Paul himself said, if somebody comes to you and they preach another gospel, don't even listen to him. Count him a curse. That, do away with that. So this morning, though, I kind of want to pick up where Pastor Spencer left off as we've been talking about the growth series. And if you've been here at any point in time in the past 6 weeks, you know that growth represents different words, and that's grace, repentance, offerings, worship, training, and harvest. And as Pastor Spencer was sharing, I thought of something. I was just mulling over it. Actually, the Sunday after he spoke on harvest, it was such a great word. And I was mulling over it, and I was just thinking about the concept of harvest. And the Lord really dropped something in my spirit, and that is what we're going to talk about today, and that's the inevitable. And so I want to pray over this word, and then we're going to get into it. Father, I come before you, and I say, come, have your way, speak in such a way that people can receive it. God, I pray that the word would come forth in understanding, in clarity, in comprehension, in anointing. Holy Spirit, I welcome your presence. Come and have your way. You said that the Holy Spirit would come and He would teach us all things. He would remind us. He would lead and guide us into all truth. He would convict us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would come and do just that this morning. I give You free reign in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to first define what is inevitable. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Certain to happen, unavoidable. So what I'm going to share with you this morning is something that this is certain to happen. This isn't going to be something that's an option or maybe. It is unavoidable because Pastor Spencer shared from Genesis 8:22, and I want to actually read that to you this morning. I believe they'll have it for you available on the screens if you don't have your Bible. That was Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. And I begin to think about the concept of seed time and harvest because these are promises from God. He says, while the earth remains, these are guarantees. You're going to have seed time. You're going to have harvest. You're going to have cold and heat. You're going to have winter and summer. You're going to have day and night. They're guarantees from God. But you know, the thing about it is that no matter how bad I may want it to be seed time, if it's not seed time, it's not seed time. No matter how bad I want it to be harvest, it may not be harvest. No matter how much I will it to be the time, it may not be. As much as I may want it to be winter or summer, I can't make it be that specific, that specific season. You know, I can even plant a seed in the ground and I could go out the next day and say, that zucchini is popping up right now in the name of Jesus. But guess what? It ain't harvest. It's just a seed. Okay? I can be like, you know what? I am sick and tired of winter. I'm tired of the cold. I'm tired of having to wear all these layers. I'm going to put my swimsuit on. I'm going to put a sun hat on. I'm going to put my sunglasses on. I'm going to get my float. I'm going to go stand outside and I'm going to say, it's summer. But you know what? In December, it still ain't summer. Now, I may put the clothing on. I can pretend that it's one thing that it's not all I want to, but I cannot force that season or that time into existence because God gave seasons. And it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, for everything, there is a time and there is a season. And all of these things have been put into the Father's hands. And just like there are natural seasons, there are spiritual seasons. And God has established those in our lives. So what I'm saying is you can't control what season you're in, but you do have the responsibility and the ability to control how you walk that season out. So every person in this room right now, under the sound of my voice and anyone that may watch later, you are either in a seed time season, you're in a harvest season, but there's one that comes in the middle, and it's the inevitable. This is certain. And I'm going to show you that in the book of James 5:7. Because one thing that is in the middle of both of these seasons is a waiting season. And in James 5:7, he says, therefore, be patient, brothers, till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits. Remember, waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. I want to tell you the definition of waiting right there in the Greek. It means to accept from some source. That is by application to await. So what does that mean exactly? That means when you're waiting on something, it is a source that is outside of you. And when something is outside of you, that means you cannot control it. And this is why so often we stop short of receiving things from God because we don't wait. Because when we can't wait, we can't get the results. And a lot of times we don't wait because we like being in control. I want this season to change. I want this to change to summer. Or I want the harvest right now. I don't want to wait for it. Have you ever been blackberry picking? And it's like, oh, that one looks like it's almost ready. It's got some black and blue on it. But there's also some red on it too. It's not fully ready, right? But you're like, it's almost there. Pop that joker in. That ain't sweet. Why? Because it ain't ready. And a lot of times we do that spiritually where we're in a season where we've planted the seed and it's been watered and we're waiting, but then we get tired of waiting on what's coming next. And so we try to rush things ahead. And so I want to give you some keys this morning about waiting, because you may think, I don't wait. You always wait. Every day you wait. If you think about it like this, if you think you don't wait, I'll give you some simple examples. Number one, do you boil water? Yes. Yes, I do. Sometimes, or my wife does, or my husband does. Do you wash clothes? Guess what? They're not instantly done. There is a cycle. Do you text people? Okay, that's pretty much everybody in the room, right? When you text, you have to then wait for a response. Do you order takeout? You got to wait for the food. Everything requires waiting, and life is a cycle that God has promised naturally and spiritually. So today we're actually celebrating not only, and I say celebrating, today we're remembering Memorial Day, but today's also Pentecost Sunday. And I want to give you a key that is, and I've already told you what it is, that is often overlooked with Pentecost Sunday, because a lot of Pentecostals, they get wrapped up in all the outward extremities. But one of the things that happened on the day of Pentecost was that they were waiting. Okay? And I'll let you know something else. And some of you Bible scholars may already know this, but a lot of people missed out on the promise because they didn't wait. Because it started out with 500, but only 120 received the promise. That means that 380 missed out on the very first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Simply why? They didn't wait. And so we can see already that those who receive are those who wait. The first key that I want to share with you this morning, because again, you may not be in a season of waiting right now, but it will come. And it's not going to, a lot of times I feel like we're like, okay, I got done with that season of waiting. I'm done with it. And I don't have to wait anymore. And then all of a sudden you're in a waiting season again. You know why? Because they always come back around. It's like, you may be like me and you're like, I'm done with winter. Guess what? Winter's coming back. I can pretend it. I can try not to think about it, which is what I do. I try not to complain about it because God gave it for a reason, but I try not to think about it. But you know what? It's still coming because seasons are inevitable. And so waiting, you may not be in a waiting season now, but it's going to come. Number one, don't fight it. If you're in a waiting season, don't fight it. Why? Because to fight against your season that God has you in is to fight against God himself. Because the Bible says in the book of Acts, and I'm not going to turn to it, but it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own power. What does that mean? That means God is in control. That means God is sovereign. And so if you have trusted him with your life, he's going to take you into seasons that you don't want to be in. And that's okay. So what do? Don't fight it when God has you in a waiting season. I'm going to give you a little bit of an example on this. When David was anointed king by Samuel, right? He was called out. He got anointed. Did he step up into the kingdom right then? No, he didn't. He actually defeated Goliath and was welcomed into the palace, but then had to run for his life because Saul tried to kill him. And he didn't fight the wilderness. It never says that David complained about the wilderness. He never dishonored Saul. Sometimes we get in waiting seasons and we're defeating ourselves because we won't keep our mouth. When David was in his waiting season, he knew he was anointed king, but he didn't try to force his way into the palace. And sometimes when we get in waiting seasons, number one, we fight it. And we're like, I don't want to be in a waiting season. I'm going to do something about it, right? We're asking God for certain things. And I don't know about you, but there's times where I'm asking and I've asked and I've asked and I've asked and I've asked and I've been consistent. And all of a sudden I can feel the Lord saying, stop asking. Just wait. And when you get in that, there's nothing you can do but wait. but it's not wasted. Pastor Spencer says that all the time. Waiting isn't wasted. And that is over and over again in the scriptures. I wish I had time to tell you. I'm not going to keep you long enough to do that because there are so many promises and guarantees that come with waiting. But we don't want to wait. We want to be in control. But David didn't fight it. So don't fight it when God puts you in a waiting season. Why? Because wait in Hebrew means this. I love this. It means to bind together by twisting. And so when you are waiting, when God has you in a time when he's saying, not right now, just wait. And you're just waiting before him. And sometimes it's silently in your prayer time. You're not saying anything. You're waiting. It's like a waitress. When she's waiting on a table, sometimes no one needs anything at the table, right? And she's just waiting for what? Do they need a refill? Do they need more food? Do they need a napkin? Oh, they don't need anything. So she's just standing waiting at attention for what your need might be next. And that's what we do sometimes when we're waiting for the Lord. But waiting to bind together. So as we wait, we are being bound together with the Lord, right? I love that because I love talking about the intimacy of God, another one of my favorite topics. But something that is bound, it's not easily broken. It's not easily moved. I'm going to give you a definition of a binding agent. A binding agent is a material used to form materials into a cohesive whole as a means of providing structural stability. Here's an example of that. Concrete uses cement as a binder. So let's use that example. Let's say I have a concrete slab out in my yard that I had a swing sitting on, and I decide one day, you know what? I am tired of that concrete slab being right there. I'm just going to go out. I'm just going to pick it up and move it. Anybody in here that knows anything about concrete is like, no, you ain't. You are a woman. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't just go out and pick up a concrete slab. You don't just go up and out and move it. If you're going to move a concrete slab, it's going to require tools and hours of labor and work in order to move that concrete slab. What's my point? My point is when you are bound together with the Lord, you become like that concrete slab where you are not easily moved. You're not easily broken. You're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but you have waited on the Lord, meaning you have spent time in his presence. You've spent time in his face. So when something is thrown your way, you're like that concrete slab. It doesn't move. It just stays right there. And you're like, no, that's not going to throw me. I know what the word of God says. And so we want to be bound together by the Lord. But in order to do that, part of the process of that is waiting. So as we wait, we become bound. Bound to the Lord. So you can either be bound to the world, you can be bound to strongholds, or you can be bound to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I think being bound to him is a much better option. I would say the best option. Number two, here's another key. Don't rush it. If you're in a waiting season, don't rush it. In Psalm 37:7, I believe they have that, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. I want to give you some definitions here. Rest, it means to be silent. Be silent in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Patiently means this. This is not what you're going to expect. It's for, in the Hebrew, it means to twirl, to twist or whirl, to dance. So when you get in a waiting season, our tendency obviously is to fight it. Our tendency is also to rush it. But in this, he says this. He says, be quiet and dance. What if we took our waiting in a different approach? Because usually we're fighting and screaming, right? Like, God, give me this now. Like, Lord, why haven't you come through? Lord, where's the breakthrough? Lord, where's the answer? Lord, why am I having to walk through this, right? Y'all looking at me like, I ain't never done that. Okay, I'll say I have, right? But you know, if we took it a little bit differently, maybe our waiting season wouldn't take so long. I don't know. I mean, he might quicken it up for us. I'm not saying he will. That is not scriptural. I'm just saying, I don't know. It's in God's hands. But I will say, here's the key, is instead of complaining, instead of fighting it, instead of rushing it, be quiet and dance. What does that mean? Dance before the Lord. I'm not saying you have to do it in church, but when you're in your bedroom, this is scriptural, and that's the problem, is that sometimes either we are all the way over here like, yeah, let's dance everywhere, or we're over here like, I ain't dancing. Okay, well, maybe you won't get your victory. And the crowd goes wild. Just try it. You know what it'll do? I've done it before. I've done it in my bedroom. It'll make you at least laugh at yourself. Because sometimes in this world that we're living in, sometimes we just need a laugh. And sometimes you might just need to get out of your bed first thing in the morning and be like, you know what? I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to dance before the Lord with all my might. I might look stupid. I might feel like a fool, but I'm going to laugh. And you know what? Your day will probably go better. Because you didn't want, number one, you showed that God's word is more important to you than your pride. Because sometimes you're like, I'm not going to dance, I'm going to look stupid. But if you're dancing before the Lord, you're showing him, Lord, what you told me to do is more important than what I think. I'm going to get out of my head and I'm just going to dance before the Lord. Okay, I want to give you another example of someone who did rush it. I'm not going to turn to the scripture for time's sake, but I'm just going to talk you through it. In the book of Samuel, he tells King Saul, he says, wait for me for 3 days, and then I'm going to come and I'm going to offer the sacrifice. They were in a battle. And so Saul waits 3 days, but he ain't seeing no sign of Samuel. And so he begins to get worried and afraid because the people are scattering from him. And so he says, I'm just going to have to do it myself. But it wasn't, he wasn't allowed lawfully to offer the sacrifice. And so he says, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. So Saul offers the sacrifice immediately when he gets done doing it. You ever find that happen? Like you do something you're not supposed to, and immediately it's like, oh man, oh, the consequences. And so immediately Samuel shows up, which represents the voice of God. He shows up and he says, what are you doing? You're not allowed to do that. And he said, well, I forced myself to do it. He always had some weird excuses. Like, oh, yeah, okay. It's kind of like with Aaron and Moses, and he makes the golden calf. And he's like, the people forced me to make the calf. And then this thing came out. Like, oh, yeah, the calf, it just came out of the earrings. Okay. He says, I forced myself to make this offering. And Samuel says this to him. In so many words, I'm just paraphrasing, but he says, God would have established you forever, but now the kingdom is rent from you and will be given to another. Literally, not waiting will cause us to miss out on the promise and the inheritance of God. And not only us, but our lineage and the next generation. So waiting is worth it. Because Saul would have been established in his line forever. God told him that. Samuel told him that. But God chose that. But Samuel said it. You would have been chosen forever. If you would have what? Waited. And so let's not miss out on the promises of God. Because we won't wait. Hebrews 6:12 says this. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I'm going to go to the third key because this is connected with that. Don't be lazy and don't quit. Because sometimes when we get in a waiting season, Pastor Bonnie, I need you to help me keep up with the time. I did not bring my phone up here. Just let me know when it's 11:20. You can just wave your hand at me or something. Sometimes when we get in a waiting season, we get lazy. We cast off restraint. right? Or we quit. Like, well, God's not doing what I asked him to do, so I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to do anything, right? We get kind of sassy, have an attitude. Sluggish in Hebrews 6:12 means this in the Greek. Literally, and I didn't come up with this definition, so don't get offended. It means literally lazy or stupid. So he's saying, don't become lazy or stupid, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So waiting on the Lord doesn't mean I'm going to be lazy. It doesn't mean I'm going to be, all right, I'm just going to cast off restraint. It doesn't, don't quit seeking. Don't quit listening to him. Don't quit praising. Don't cast off restraint. What it means is during this time, I am focused and I'm waiting. There is purpose in what I'm doing. I'm not just sitting here. I'm not just moving forward. I'm waiting on the Lord. And that's the problem. And I feel like that is one of the biggest issues with why the church is lackadaisical. Why people cast off restraint. They're here, then they're there. They're here, then they're there. They're, at this church, they're at that church. They quit for a year. Whatever it may be, is because we lack intimacy with the Lord. Because we don't wait. Because I don't know about you, but when you have intimacy with someone, you want to be with them. You want to spend time with them. You want to get to know them. You want to do what pleases them. And part of intimacy with God is waiting. It's binding together with him so that nothing is causing me to move to the right or to the left. Why? Because I'm waiting on him. He may not be doing what I want right now, but guess what? That's because he's God. And if he was doing what I wanted every single time, I have put myself in the place of God. He does not owe me anything. We're not entitled, but a lot of times in this generation, we feel entitled that God is supposed to do every single thing that we ask. But part of what supplication means or prayer is petition. And do you know that when you petition, you have to be willing that the answer could be no. And part of our problem is we don't want to be told no, just like we don't want to be told what to do. But if you're in a waiting season, you're not wasting time. You're not being unproductive because I don't know about you, but I'm very goal-oriented. And so sometimes because I'm goal-oriented, it can fight against the spiritual side of waiting. Because it says, you're not doing anything. This is purposeless. No, I'm binding together with the Lord right now. I want to continue with Hebrews 6:12 because I want us to really grasp what waiting is. As we wait, we bind together with the Lord. We seek closeness with him. Do not develop a giving up mentality when you're in a waiting season. What does that mean? God may have you waiting. That doesn't mean you go, I give up. I just quit. I don't know about you. I have been there. I don't condemn you. I encourage you that it happens to everyone that sometimes we're waiting on God to give us a certain answer or to do something. And we're like, I'm just going to give up. I just quit. Nothing's happening. He's not answering. He's not moving. He's not doing anything. But I always come back to this. Jesus looked at his disciples. And he said, are you going to go away too? Because he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they all went away from him. And he looked at his disciples and he said, what about you? And they said this, where else can we go? You have the words that are eternal and full of life. So sometimes God's going to have you in a season you don't like. Where else are you going to go? Because he is the only one that has the words that are eternal and full of life. So Hebrews 6:12, he says this, imitate who? Those who inherited promises. And how do they inherit promises? By faith and patience. We all love to talk about receiving the promises of God. But you have to have faith and patience in order to do that. I want to go to the last and final key. Oh, we're doing great. Okay. Don't be aimless. If you are in a waiting season, don't be aimless. Wait with expectation and vision. If you're in a waiting season, wait with expectation and vision. I want to go to Psalm 62, verse 5. I think they have that one for you. My soul, wait silently for God alone. Why? My expectation is from Him. My expectation, how am I waiting? When you're in a waiting season, and you know, honestly, you might be in a season of harvest, but in another area, you might be in a season of waiting. That you can be in multiple seasons at the same time. Because for me, I feel like I'm in multiple seasons. One, you're always in seed time because you should always be planting spiritually. I'm always planting into my children. I'm always trying to plant seeds in those that are around me to speak the truth in love. I'm always waiting on something. Right now, I'm waiting on a baby. And you know what? I can't force this baby to come. And to do so, because there are things you can do, to do so would stunt the growth. And then I'm going to have problems. And any moms that has had to have a child in ICU, you know if they come too early, there's things that aren't yet developed. And as much as I want Bishop to be here, I want more than anything that he is healthy and he is strong and he is whole and he's ready to come out and face this world. And in order to do that, I have to wait. Because God gave him the life and God has his birthday in his hands, not in mine. And so as we wait, let's wait with expectation. Because the fruit is coming. That's what in the book of James, it's what it says. He said, the farmer, he waits for what? He waits for the precious fruit. Let's not give up after we plant those seeds, that we cast off restraint, that we quit, that we rush and we try to pull that thing out of the ground or pull that thing off too early. Because we got precious fruit coming. If we don't give up, my brothers, don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, we will reap if we don't faint, if we don't quit, if we don't give up, because the answer is coming. The reward is coming. I'm just speaking in a natural sense. A mother who is pregnant, her reward is coming. A farmer who planted, their reward is coming. And it's the same spiritually. Whatever you have planted, it is coming, but sometimes you have to wait. But I want to hone in on two things as I begin to close. One, sometimes our problem is that our expectation isn't from the Lord. Our expectation is on that answer. And I want to give you something that I've thought about in those seasons. Is you know what? There's always going to be something else. You may receive it, there's going to be something else. And that's why our expectation should stay focused on Him. Because in the book of Psalms, it says this, what am I waiting for? What I hope is in you. Hope in Hebrew there means long for. What am I waiting for? What I long for, it's in you. And so that sustains us in times of waiting because He ultimately is what we are waiting for. We may need an answer. We may desire an answer, and He will give those. But let's make sure that we keep Him and our desire for Him as our main pursuit. And lastly, I want to go to 2 Peter 3:9 because this is the ultimate waiting. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me go to that next verse. That was 3:9, 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, which righteousness reigns in. So what am I saying? We are ultimately waiting for his return. And I feel like a lot of times the church has kind of stopped talking about that. But what we're ultimately waiting for is him. And in the book of Revelation, it says this, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Maybe you've never said that before, but I want to put that into your spirit this morning. That as you pray and spend time with him, you are the bride. The Spirit dwells inside of you. So the Spirit and the bride should be saying, come. You know why? That keeps us focused on what's really the most important thing. As believers, our goal is to help other people get saved, and it's for his return. And so sometimes the reason our waiting is so frustrating is that we have put more importance on everything else that we are seeking instead of remembering that what we're really waiting for is for Jesus to return. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I hope those keys have helped you, but ultimately I want you to remember what we're waiting on and in what manner of conduct we should live, especially now. Now that the days are at hand, if you don't believe we're living in the last days, I just want to let you know we are. Oh, let's pray. Father, I come before you this morning, and I pray over your people that no matter what season we may find ourselves in, that the grace of God would empower every single person in this room to walk it out in accordance with your word. I pray grace, grace, grace over your people. I pray a strengthening. And Lord, even right now, as almost every day something is coming out that is evil, every week something is being exposed or revealed where the enemy is trying to wear out the saints. God, I pray that your people would not be deceived. But Lord, I pray that they would be strengthened. I pray that they would walk in discernment to know what is behind this and how do I handle this. God, I pray that prayer would fill the hearts of every believer in this room, that maybe we've cast off restraint in our prayer life. Maybe we've never had one. Maybe we just need to get better. God, I pray that prayer would become stronger in this house and in our families and in our homes, because prayer is what defeats the enemy. And so I pray this morning over every person that may be in a season of seed time, harvest, or waiting. I pray that your grace would appear to them, strengthening them and giving them the hope and the strength and the revelation that they need to walk out that season. In Jesus' name. If you would, you can raise your hands to receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and speak peace all over you. Grace, grace, peace, peace, shalom, shalom. May all chaos be driven from you and away from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great Memorial Weekend.